morning, everyone. We have a guest speaker with us this morning, Bill Burnett. He will take over and lead us in worship. Have a few announcements first. Of course, we want to keep Pastor Mike, Beth, and the whole family in our prayers. Everyone on a prayer list. And also, Pat goes in for his surgery 1 week from tomorrow. And I go in for my surgery on my cheek Wednesday. There'll be no Bible study tomorrow. Prayer meeting at LaRue's house on Thursday, 4 to 5 p.m. The men's group will meet at Hayfield Restaurant on Saturday at 7:30 for breakfast. And there'll be a trustees meeting next Sunday after worship. Anyone want to give a report on the yard sale? October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Normally, we don't publish in the paper, the Hampshire Review. We give Mike a gift. We got to decide in the next couple of weeks what we want to do about that. Lori has a guest this morning. She's going to introduce, and then he's going to say a few words, and then Bill will take over for the rest of the service.
I'm going to come up here so that it can go on the recording because I want Mike to hear this. So this is a surprise. We had no idea that Satoshi was coming today. He was visiting some of the other churches in the region and had a free week and found out that we were ministering here and decided to surprise us. So I'm sorry that Mike is missing this. But this is Satoshi Kawachi. Did I say it correctly? Okay. And we met him at least 10, maybe 12 or 15 years ago when we were attending church in at Pilgrim PCA in Martinsburg, yes, because they were supporting him. So he is a PCA missionary, and I think in the time that we've known him, he's been in three different locations. He started in Senegal, right? Teaching at a French, Satoshi is Japanese and a French speaker. So he's always served in French-speaking locations. So they were in Senegal, and then they were in Quebec, and now they're in southern France. And his wife, Callie, is American, and I forget how you met her, but anyway. So we just wanted to introduce you to our friend Satoshi and give him a few minutes. He can let you know what his family is up to.
Thank you, Lori. Again, my name is Satoshi Kawachi. I'm Japanese. I grew up in a traditional Buddhist and Shintoist Japanese religious context. Anyway, I came to know the Lord through the work of American missionaries. So thank you so much for sending missionaries to Japan. And without that, I would never have known the Lord. But I tried to make it short, but as Lori said, since then, God called us to serve in the French-speaking countries. So first we served in Senegal, West Africa, where I was asked to start a seminary for the French-speaking pastors in Africa, West Africa. So then eventually the African leaders took over the operations. So mission accomplished, we came back to the U.S. and then God called us to serve in Quebec. There I was a pastor of a French-speaking church in Quebec City. And then God called us to serve in southern France. Currently, we're reaching out to Muslims living in a very difficult neighborhood, and also reaching out to the migrants coming to Europe. And there's a humanitarian crisis taking place in Europe, and so the many migrants coming to Europe, and they're living on the streets, so we reach out to them. But anyway, I wasn't here to try to share what we do, but just wanted to say, I personally say thank you, and then so also wanted to get to know you, all of you, and here at the church. So pray the Lord, the Lord has been glorified at this church. So thanks so much for your time.
Good morning. It's so very good to be here to worship with you. And I look forward to it. Sorry about that. And so I was at First Presbyterian Church in Martinsburg and filled in there. And then I went to Tomahawk Presbyterian Church in Hedgesville for, I pastored that church for 6 years. And then I love the people. I still go back there and fill the pulpit occasionally and everything. But I left the PCUSA because they left my understanding of Scripture. And so, I now consider myself, when I go to the PC USA church, as a missionary. So, we are very active in a church in Front Royal, a non-denominational church, because there's no Reformed faith church in Front Royal that is other than the USA. I'd like everybody to stand as we do the call to worship. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this day, Lord. We thank you that we can be here with one another. We thank you we can share your word, your praise, your music, and your love with one another, Lord. We ask that you would open our eyes to hear, see, and open our ears to hear your word as it is revealed uniquely to each and every one of us. Amen. Let's sing now Higher Ground 357. You got to keep me straight here if I'm going to do this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. The voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, revealing soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And listen to this again, starting this part, because this will pertain to the sermon and to the scripture in Matthew. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now we move to Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Now this scripture is so familiar to all of us, anybody who's ever attended a funeral, probably, and to many of us, that it's easy to overlook the deep meaning of this. Jesus has been going out to all the towns and cities and villages around, and he has been rejected by some of them. And he's in the previous scripture, he said, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida!" So he's really been rejected by them. And at that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and the burden is light." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for you giving us your word. Your word gives us everything we need for life. Jesus Christ is our reason to live, and our only reason to live, Lord, is to please you and to serve you, Lord, and to enjoy you. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us and do for us. We thank you for what you are doing in this church and this church family. We ask for special prayers for Mike and his family, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that you would be with them, as with all the others on the prayer list, Lord. We ask this morning, Lord, that you would be with those who serve this community and those who serve this state and our nation, Lord. We ask that you would be with those who serve our nation in harm's way or in lonely places, Lord, and just they can feel your very touch. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us and hold us and lead us, Lord, always, and help us to look to you for the way, because you are the way, the only way. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let us pray. I'm sorry. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We forgive our trespasses against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can remain seated while we sing In the Garden on 3:12-11. To come forward. sorry to hold you up. Thank you. Father in heaven, we ask, Lord, that you would receive these gifts that we give to you in love. We ask, Lord, that you would guide our leaders to use them according to your will, Lord, and to further the spreading of your word across this nation and the world. We lift this up in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sorry, we have to quiet. The scripture we read in Psalm 19 is, of course, written by David. And it was written as a song. And I did a service at First Evangelical Presbyterian Church in Martinsburg in July and everything. And In that church, they sing one psalm every morning. Their opening hymn is a psalm every morning, because Dr. Burton is convinced that it's important for his church to learn to sing the psalms. And the one we did that day was pretty easy to sing, but some of them are challenging because they weren't written for English language. And so getting the cadence right is a challenge. But this psalm that we read was about David giving praise to the Lord and expressing his confidence in the Lord, that the Lord would lead him. And in the middle of it, he goes in, as you heard, he goes into thanking the Lord for his word, thanking the Lord for his laws, for his commandments, for his rules to guide him, and asking the Lord to help him so that he does not become disobedient or uncaring about the law, or caring about the word that the Lord has given him. And he's asking for the Lord's help in that. He's asking for the Lord to give him confidence that he can keep living according to the word, and forgiveness, asking for forgiveness when he cannot or does not. Then we go to the scripture in Matthew and everything. And this one, Jesus is telling his people that he said, that talks about his own humility, and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I remember going frequently to my father's home place over in Cambridge, Maryland, right on the waterfront, a farm. And there was a farmer just down the country road from my grandmother's farm that anytime I went out there in the wintertime or in the summertime, he would have his yoke of oxen out there working the fields, turning it over in the fall to let the natural resources prepare it for the planting in the spring, and then turning it over in the spring. And he had these oxen on there, and the oxen were two different size oxen, as I recall, and the yoke was not centered on the oxen. The yoke with the smaller oxen was wider on that side and shorter on the side with the larger oxen, so it could equal out the power of the two, so it could spread the work according to the size of the oxen. In telling us to take his yoke, Christ is telling us, is implying that what we need to do first is get out of the yoke of Satan. We need to free ourselves from the yoke of Satan. We need to walk away from Satan and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and thereby freeing ourselves to join Jesus and to take on his yoke. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, what Jesus is not saying is that we give up Satan and we are free. We give up Satan and we are free from sin. But we're taking on another yoke. We're doing the work of the Lord. I heard in your Sunday school class this morning, I was in there briefly and talking about the works that have been prepared for you. The book of Ephesians says that the works that have been prepared for you before the beginning. So it tells you that, first of all, not only were the works prepared for you before the beginning, the Lord was prepared for you before the creation, and you were already known to him and known what works he had prepared for you. So Jesus is telling us to take on his yoke. And it's come out, and we might want to think, well, if I'm yoked, you know, I can't be, how can I be happy and be yoked? Some people really resist the idea of being yoked to Christ. My father was a great hunter. He raised field trial beagles and pointers and setters, and he raised hunting dogs. And they were always really well trained. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was walking my wife's dog. I still call it my wife's dog because we're newlyweds. We got married in December of last year. Both of us had, she had been widowed a couple years from a pastor who was in this area. And then my wife died about 5.5 years ago. And so I still call it Judy's dog. So I was walking down the road we live on, which is a country road called Buck Mountain Road, and named after the Buck family, not the deer. And I was thinking about it because this dog is so well trained and so humble. And this dog, when I walk down the road, it reminds me of the dogs that we had when I was a child, the hunting dog. You could walk with the dog, it would always be on your left, because most people are right-handed and need their right hand free. Okay, so most dogs are led on the left. And there was slack in the leash when we were walking. The dog did what we called a heel. And so it would walk with you. When you stop, the dog sits. And I think about that when I go down on Main Street sometime, go downtown, and I see these people going down the sidewalk with this dog. It's dragging them down there all the time. It just looks painful for everybody. That's not the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about us being yoked with him, not by him. He's talking about to be yoked with him. Now, when we're yoked with Jesus, clearly that yoke would have to be way offset for me, because he would have the long end by far, because I wouldn't be able to carry my part of the load. But Jesus is talking about having the peace that we can know in Christ by being in his yoke, being comfortable, because we are part of him and he is part of us. He's also talking about, when he refers to this yoke, he understands, Jesus understands, because all of his disciples were Jews, and he was preaching primarily to Jews. And Jesus, of course, was born a Jew, as my mother was as well. And Jesus is referring to the horrible, burdensome yoke that the Sadducees and the Pharisees have placed upon the people, because they have taken God's pretty straightforward, simple law, and they have magnified it 100-fold with all these burdens and things. You can go to some parts of Israel today, and you will have and you will see that some of the public places and even the private offices and stuff have what's called Sabbat elevators. And so the elevators will, you go up there and the elevator will come and open the door, and then it will, you stand there, you don't touch anything, because that would be considered work. And then the elevator goes to each floor and stops, and you can walk on or get off as you want to. Because that is their tradition, their law, and what you hear referred to whenever you read in the Bible. It says the tradition of the elders. The tradition of the elders is something that is far, far beyond anything that God ordered people to do or to live by. And so the people were heavily burdened for this. And so Jesus is saying to them, "Take my yoke. You can't serve two masters. Take my yoke. And my burden is light, and I am humble." How in the world can God be humble? That's beyond my understanding. I know it's true, but it's beyond my understanding. It's beyond my understanding how God could even want to take me in his yoke. But he does, and he has. Jesus is talking about living in a relationship with him. So many times when we think of God or we talk about God, we're talking like somebody would stand on the top of a mountain and yell up to the heavens and everything to this unapproachable God. But what we're talking about here is this Jesus Christ who is not only approachable, but is calling us and pulling us and tugging at us through the Holy Spirit to come and be yoked with him and to walk him. So many Christians fail to ever experience the joy of being in Christ. They follow the rules as good as they can, and they pray to him, and they do what they're supposed to do, and many of them are indeed devout Christians, but they miss the joy. And here Jesus is telling us that you can have a joyous relationship with me. And he's talking about it in some of the same way that you heard in Psalm 19. David was talking about the joy that he experiences with his relationship with God. That David did not feel burdened by the law, but he felt joyous because of the law, because the law showed him what to do and how to think and how to speak and how to live. And he thanked God for that. And he asked God to help him with that. And in here, Jesus is telling the people to give up all of that Pharisaical talk and practices and doing all these things that are superficial laws made by men, not God, and to embrace the one true God that you can only know through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has given us to, has brought us to God and is there to speak for us with God. So to take on this yoke is to find peace in the Lord. And to understand that when the Lord is telling us to do things, that he's telling us to do it for our good, not for his good, but for our good. That brings us to how we hear from the Lord. It is very important that we spend time in the Word, in reading the Word, because everything written in our Bible is written there through the guidance of God. It wasn't men. It was men who transcribed it, but God who gave it to them to write. And so this is God's word. No matter what translation of the Bible you're using or what version of it you're using, it's God's word. And so it's important for us to approach God in the way that God has taught us to approach him, first in prayer. And before we read God's word, it's important for us to pray to God to give us understanding, to help us to understand what it is that he wants us to know about his word at this day and this moment in time. When I get ready to go to, I frequently go to churches that I know a lot of the people, but I often go to churches I don't initially know anybody. And so I always pray to the Lord that the Lord will guide my words, will give me the words to share with the people that God knows that they need to hear, that God has prepared for them. And so it is important that we do that in our everyday prayer, that we pray to God and ask him to, as we read his word, that he will prepare us for the people we will meet today, for the people that God will place in our proximity on this given day, that we have an opportunity to share the good news with, to share the blessings that God has given us with, to be able to be prepared. Because God gives us opportunities. And don't you know that I have many times in my life really walked away, walked out of a building or walked away out of a store or got farther down the sidewalk and realized that God had put somebody there for me to talk to, and I'd missed the opportunity. I didn't take it up for, why I hesitated, I don't know, but I did feel the Holy Spirit admonish me for that. And so it's important that we make ourselves available for when the Holy Spirit urges us to share the good news or invite somebody to church or just tell somebody. When somebody says, "How are you doing?" And I say, and you can answer, thanks to God's help, I'm doing well. Or thanks to Christ, I'm doing very well. There's opportunities to do that. Don't miss the opportunity, because you will certainly have the joy of sharing the good news with people. It also has to do with how we view our lives, our everyday lives. In not fighting for the parking space that's closest to the store when we have the ability to walk a little ways. When offering the last grocery cart that's already in the store to somebody else. To picking up something on the floor of the grocery store that's fallen that somebody might trip over and putting it on the shelf. What I'm trying to say is that if people in the community don't see something different about the people from Christian Church, then why in the world would they come to Christian Church to find something different? So they have to see us in the community that we live in, walking in the yoke of Jesus Christ, following the words of Jesus Christ, and trusting in Jesus Christ to help us to know what to do and when to do it. Amen. Ask everyone to stand as we sing hymn 274.